welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Father, we thank you for your spirit that is alive and doing well. God, we thank you for the worship thus far. Thank you for all of our worship leaders and those that are worshiping by Facebook with us. I was just sitting and imagining when the roof will come off of the building from our worship. Therefore, in the meantime, wherever you're at, let your worship take the roof off the building. Somebody ought to say amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. Giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. Good morning, Redeemer. May the Lord bless you real good. Like to thank all of our Redeemer family that is worshiping with us through the conference line and through the Facebook. God bless you. One of the traditions that I have started over the last couple of years is during the summer, I like to say, spend the summer with the psalmist, if that's all right. So if you would, in your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Psalm 46, very familiar psalm, and for your hearing, I will be reading verse 1 to 3, but I do ask that you would, in your time, read the entire psalm, just for the preaching time, far as I'll get, is be 1 to 3. So it's Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. The psalmist writes these words: God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then you'll see there's a word of instruction. And that word of instruction is the word Selah. And Selah means to meditate on what we just read. So I'll just read it again while we meditate on it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. For the next 20 to 25 minutes, I want to talk from the title, the topic, or the theme: confidence in the midst of chaos. Confidence in the midst of chaos. Would you pray with me? Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Like the morning needs the sun, I need thee. Like the ocean needs the stream, I need thee. And like the river needs the rain, I need thee. God, use your man today. Have your way today. Speak like you've never spoken before. And God will be careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, and all the credit. And all of God's people said, amen. You know, Karl Barth, the Swiss theologian, Barth said, that every preacher should mount the pulpit with the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other hand. Bart says that the preacher will not preach the news, but the preacher will preach what thus God has to say about what's going on in the news. Now, when one watches the current events of the last 2 weeks that has been portrayed on the news, there's really only one word that can describe what we're seeing. And that word, my brothers and my sisters, is the word chaos. First, there's the continued injustice and brutal full-out assault on our unarmed black men by white and law enforcement officers. By now, everybody has to have seen that shocking and disturbing video of the cold, callous, and inhumane murder of George Floyd by a white police officer. The video that has the officer kneeling on George's neck for over 8 minutes while George is pleading, "I can't breathe." If you've seen the video, no doubt your heart has to go out to the Floyd family. Interestingly, all across America, all the pain, sadness, anger, and frustration of another unnecessary public execution of black lives has caused both many blacks and whites to say, "Enough is enough." Yes, we find ourselves in the midst of chaos. Secondly, the outrage has led to marches and protesters that at first they started out peacefully, but shortly they turned into outbursts. Outbursts because of years and years of frustration. Years and years of very little being done to change the injustice in America. Years and years of systematic and institutional racism. Now, we understand your frustration, but by no means do we condone unacceptable behavior, such as rioting, looting, setting buildings on fire, and turning over police cars. If I could be honest for a minute, it brought tears to my eyes to see so many cities in the nation erupt. But it really hit home Saturday, May the 30th, 2020, a day I'll never forget. That's the day that the protests and the riots occurred right here in our city, right here in the midst of our city, right here in the midst of our eyes. Our city is in chaos. But thank God, recently, the protesting has been very, very peaceful. Lastly, while all of this is taking place, some seem to have forgotten that we're still in the midst of the corona epidemic, which has further highlighted the racial disproportionality effects amongst black people, such as inadequate health care, or should I say, the access to adequate health care, thus resulting in a higher death rate amongst black people. Church, as I stand before you this morning and I sound the alarm that we're dealing with chaos on every hand. Somebody under the sound of my voice this morning is dealing with some form of chaos in your life. And if chaos hasn't showed up yet, just keep on living. You see, when we find ourselves in a state of chaos without confidence, it has a way of creating uncertainty along with a sense of uneasiness. It's all designed to rob us of our peace. You see, when you're in a state of chaos without confidence, it will produce or it will create that old familiar feeling of fear. My first point this morning is fear. You see, in the Bible, over and over again, we are told to fear not. I believe one reason that God tells us over and over again not to fear is because fear is a real emotion. What do I mean by that? I mean, some of us deal with fear on a regular basis. I don't care who you are, at one time or another, you will experience fear. 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 Let me see if I can get on your street. There's a fear of driving while black. And you see blue and red lights flashing in your mirror. There's a fear that we can have a war on our streets because of an emotional, unfit, narcissistic person who is the commander-in-chief of the most powerful military in the world. There's a fear of America reopening too soon, thus creating another deadly spike in the deaths of the coronavirus. There are still states that are trending upward in the number of cases, but they're still moving forward with reopening. The virus hasn't gone anywhere. Fear. God wants us to know. Fear is a trick of the enemy. God doesn't want us to live in fear. For the Bible says over and over again not to fear. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says fear not. And in that same chapter, a little later in verse 13, he says, for the Lord is with you. Fear not. I like how David puts it in the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. But I really like how he puts it in Psalm 27. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? You see, when chaos comes into our lives, God doesn't want us to fear. That's what I love about Psalm 46. You see, Psalm 46 is tailored to teach us that we can have confidence and not fear in the midst of chaos. You see, in the African American preaching, when the preacher is using his oratorical skills and his vast vocabulary, he uses it to paint a picture. And while the preacher is preaching, it is common in the black church for someone to shout out, "Paint the picture, sir." That's because the preacher wants you to be able to see with the mind's eye what he or she is saying. With that being said, I love how the psalmist in verses 2 and 3 paints a picture of some fearful situations to make his point. And I hope you haven't closed your Bible. The psalmist says, though the earth be removed, the psalmist is describing or painting a picture to let us know that if you should ever find yourself in a dark, desolate circumstances of chaos where you feel like you're going to perish, thus meaning the earth being removed, this is no doubt a fearful situation. Somebody knows what it means to have your world turned upside down, and it seems as if the world or the earth is being removed. The psalmist continues to paint the picture by saying, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. When the psalmist used the word mountain, the psalmist is painting a picture of the biggest and the firmest of objects that have ever been created, that they are experiencing total destruction, meaning that chaos will bring a sense of destruction and horror. Verse 3, the psalmist continues painting with the imagery with these words: though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You see, these two verses, they set forth and they paint a picture of terrible and horrible, picture of calamities or chaos that one could imagine. Can you imagine mountains be carried in the midst of the sea? For mountains are what man climbs, or either fly over or dig tunnels. Men don't have the power to move mountains like the Swiss Alps or the Poconos, for that matter. So the psalmist is basically saying, I'm experiencing chaos that's beyond human power. But notice, if you will, the psalmist makes a powerful declarative statement with these words. Verse 2, the psalmist says, therefore, we will not fear. Here we see the psalmist's determination of faith in the midst of chaos. What the psalmist is saying is simply, no matter what happens, whether physically or spiritually, I will not fear, and I will be confident because of my faith. So first, we see the fear. Now my second point is the faith. Don't miss this. It's your faith that will produce your confidence in the midst of chaos. Let me say that again. It's your faith that will produce your confidence in the midst of chaos. I know that's right. Faith will always overcome fear. For faith and fear cannot occupy the same space. Can I talk to you about faith and fear for a minute? Fear says, I have what the doctor says I have. Faith says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Fear says, we don't have it in the budget. Faith says, my God shall supply all my needs. Fear says, the devil is trying to destroy me. But faith says, my God will block it. Fear says, America is in chaos. But faith says, the earth is the Lord. And our God is still on the throne. I don't know what your chaos may be this morning, whether it's a relationship, whether it's health, whether it's finances, but whatever it is, strengthen your faith. For the Bible says faith can move mountains. This word, faith, it means to trust, to have assurance and a strong belief, but it also means confidence. Many call today's Black Lives Matter movement the present day civil rights movement. You see, it was faith that gave us the strength then to bring about change. And it is faith that's going to give us the strength today to bring about change, because it's faith that sustains a movement. The Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. That means it's not what I see that determines my level of my faith. In other words, my intellect does not come into the equation about my faith. You see, when I walk by faith and not by sight, by faith I'm walking by what's inside of me and what I believe. For if you take the letters in the word faith, for the F you'll get full, for the A you'll get assurance, for the I you'll get in, for the T you'll get the, and for the H you'll get heart. In other words, it is not what I see, but it's the full assurance in my heart what God will do for the oppressed, what God will do for his people. It's what I believe what God will do. So it's by faith, not by sight. We've come this far by faith. Through slavery, through the emancipation, through the Reconstruction, through the lynching and Jim Crow, through World War I, through the Depression, through World War II, through Brown versus the Board of Education, through the Montgomery boycott, through the civil rights sit-ins, through the marches on Washington, through it all, we walked by faith. Through the hurricanes, through the floods, through the droughts, through the volcanic eruptions, through the earthquakes, through the race riots, we have come this far by faith. And we will overcome by our faith. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Lastly, y'all make me work today. My third point, and my final point, I want you to know that faith will overcome fear, because God is our fortress. Thank you. So it's fear, faith, fortress. Look at verse number one. I don't know if you know it or not, but I preach backwards today. Verse number one. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We celebrate the fact that God is whatever we need God to be. And right now, in this state of chaos, we need God to be our fortress and our protection. I don't know about you, but I was quite appalled to see a certain individual stand up before a boarded church and hold up a Bible. My first question was, I wonder if he actually reads the Bible. Well, it didn't take me long to get the answer. Shortly thereof, I found out that the White House has added tall fencing all around its perimeter, in effect to build, and the newspaper articles all use this word, fortress. You see, if he opened and read his Bible, he would know that there are at least 37 scriptures on this word fortress. This Psalms 18:2, Psalms 31:3, Psalms 91:2, Psalms 142, 44 verse 2, just to name a few. You see, if he'd opened and read his Bible, he would know that there's no need to have tall fencing around the White House, because the Bible teaches that God is the best fortress that we can have. For God is our rock and our salvation. For it's the name of the Lord that's a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are saved. If he opened and read his Bible, he would know that God is our refuge, not the National Guard. That God is our refuge and fortress, not the Secret Service. He would know that God is our refuge and strength, not Bill Barr and the Department of Injustice. For one of the true blessings of being a Christian is to learn the secret of true safety and protection in the midst of chaos. Psalm 46 uses the word refuge, which implies fortress. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. Now, I don't know if you can see this or not, but the psalmist is saying that when it's chaos all around me, that God becomes my refuge and God covers me. While God covers me, he strengthens me, and he's a very present help in the time of chaos and confusion. God is the place that we run to for safety, and is the source in danger, and it's God that's our fortress. As I get ready to close and take my seat. In the African American tradition, we know that we serve a God that is whatever we need when we when we need it. Yes, he is a lawyer, never lost a case. He is a doctor, never lost a patient. He is grandma, walking cane. He can heal all manner of diseases. He is my shelter in a time of a storm. He is my mind regulator. He is a burden fixer, heavy load sharer. He is a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He is a bridge over troubled water. He'll open doors no man can open. He'll close doors no man can close. He may not come when you want him, but he's always, always, always on time. God specializes in things that seem impossible. God can do anything but fail. Yes, he can. How do I know? He walks with me. He talks with me. He lets me know that I am his own. And the joy, I said the joy of my soul. Yes. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he make you keep your mind in perfect peace? Won't he make your enemies leave you alone? Won't he bless you beyond measure? Won't he? Won't he? Won't he? Yeah! Yeah! In the midst of chaos, we can have confidence because our God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. Woo! Therefore, we can have confidence in the midst of chaos because our God is a mighty fortress. It's our faith that will always overcome fear because our God is our fortress. As we stand on our feet and we open up the doors of the church, for we may have someone watching us that does not know Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. There may be someone that's watching that is in that state of chaos and may just need restoration to be reconnected to the fellowship. There may be one that somehow during this pandemic and not being able to attend church physically have somehow decided that they may need a new church home. So as we offer the first call to the unsaved, salvation, to the one second call that's in a backslidden condition, restoration, and then for the third call, an opportunity to be part of the fellowship of the body of believers. Is there one among us? If you're unsaved, Now is the time to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Simply open up your heart and open up your mind. Simply say, God, I'm a savior, sinner in need of a Savior, and that I believe that Jesus died for me. For the Bible says, if you believe, accept, and confess, that you will be saved. So we pray, and we pray that God's word was received.
You brought me over for every trial.